June 11th. I remember when the kids were little, how summertime never quite felt like the relaxing mid-year oasis it was billed as. For one thing, while teachers supposedly have the entire summer off, it doesn't really work that way. I took seminars and courses in the summer to up my teaching game, and I spent most of August prepping for the upcoming school year. For another thing, it wasn't like the old days when moms chucked their kids out after breakfast and expected them to play outdoors all day. By the time I had kids, moms worked and kids had their days filled with scheduled activities that involved a lot of dropping off and picking up and packing lunches and backpacks. It was a lot like school, really. All that to say, summer has always been pretty busy for me and mine, and this summer is proving no different. Which brings me to, drumroll please, Jessica's baby shower cocktail party. Or, maybe more to the point, Abby's baby shower cocktail party. The party was Friday night at 21C on East Main Street. 21C is a restaurant, cocktail lounge, and art gallery. The main reason to go is for its rooftop view. It's certainly not for the food or the service, both of which leave something to be desired. But the view of Milton Falls from the top of 21C is spectacular. You're reminded of how beautiful buildings used to be, how aspirational and inspirational. Buildings in downtown Milton Falls are a mix of Greek Revival and Beaux-Arts architecture, and, amazingly enough, none of them were raised during Milton Falls' major growth period in the 1970s and 80s. All the development happened in the South, and most of it is nondescript at best. But downtown was left alone, probably because people were leaving in droves to live in the new subdivisions, and nobody gave the older part of town much thought. We were all about the malls, baby. The few times I've been to 21C, I've headed straight for the northwest corner of the rooftop cafe and gazed out upon the Carnegie Library across the street. I spent so many hours there as a kid on Saturday afternoons, I'm nearly knocked over by the waves of nostalgia that hit me every time I see it. Friday night was no different. Daryl, Katie, and I ascended the 6 floors to the cafe in a shoebox-sized elevator, and when we got out, over to the northwest corner I went. Katie came with me, even though she doesn't have the same sentimental feelings about the library as I do. By the time she was old enough to have a library card, the old library had been transformed on the inside, all computerized and technology-ridden. Often as not, I take the kids to the Orange Street branch, which isn't half as grand, but was closer to home and thus more convenient. After we'd taken in the view of the city, Katie and I turned around to see what was happening at the party. The cow jumping over the moon decor Abby had chosen was elegantly playful, with its silver moons and silver stars and silver cows and, yes, silver spoons, all dangling from the twinkle lights suspended over our heads. The cafe's high round tables were draped in sparkly silver cloths, and Doris Days, by the light of a silvery moon, was wafting through the speakers. Abby, always one to stick with the theme, was dressed in a slinky silver gown, a slit cut up one side. And yes, she looked amazing, and yes, I felt schlubby in comparison, even though I'd thought myself quite chic in my red sheath and black shrug when I'd left the house. As Katie and I walked toward the bar, I noticed that there were no chairs anywhere to be seen. People were standing at the tables or mingling, but no one was actually sitting down. No one but Jessica, that is, who appeared to have her own personal throne. I should have worn my Skechers sandals, I told Katie. I love these pumps, but I don't know that my feet can take 3 hours of them. I would have disowned you if you'd worn Skechers, Katie said, then held up a hand to stop my protests. I know, they're the most comfortable shoes in the world, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not against comfort. But sometimes, Mom, fashion has to take first priority. Well, you're fashionable enough for the both of us, I told her, which was true. Katie was wearing a bright green with white polka dots 1940s-style dress. It had a boat-neck collar and a wide black, well, I'm not sure what you'd call it. A kind of cummerbund, I guess, or a corset. Her hair was styled in a pageboy and topped with a pillbox hat. Really, she could not have looked cuter, which made me feel cute by association. There must have been close to 100 people by the time the party was in full swing. The funny thing was, aside from the cows jumping over the moon, there wasn't much that suggested we were at a baby shower, other than the gift table next to the entrance, piled with baby-themed bags and packages wrapped with stork-themed paper. Daryl and I had been tasked with bringing the gifts home after the party and dropping them off at Sam and Jessica's in the morning, which, I realized, meant that I had to stay until the bitter end. My feet protested wildly as soon as they heard the news. I'll take off the shoes as soon as I can, I whispered. Who are you talking to? Katie asked. My pinky toes, I told her. The shoes stay on until the last guest leaves, Katie told me, and I felt something in the universe had shifted, and we'd suddenly changed roles. 10 minutes after we arrived, waiters began to stroll among the guests, carrying platters of canapes, stuffed mushrooms, beef and caramelized onions on toast, and spanakopita. Pretty filling fare for hors d'oeuvres, and all of it delicious. Partygoers lined up at the open bar, where wine, champagne, and mixed drinks were being served. It occurred to me that this little shindig of Abby's must have cost a pretty penny. Who's paying for all of this? I asked Daryl as we made our way over to the guests of honor. If it's Abby, she must be making more money as a model than I thought.
Maybe things have heated up with Tom Grangerfield and he's footing the bill, Daryl suggested.
A thought suddenly occurred to me. Maybe Sam and Jessica are paying for it. Daryl considered this.
Yeah, that would make sense, because if I recall correctly, in the past, Billy has footed most of Abby's bills. But now that Billy's out of the picture, somebody else has got to pay the check, and that somebody probably isn't our hostess.
Sam and Jessica shouldn't be spending their money on this, I said. Jessica's only working part-time as it is, and she's talking about quitting if the baby makes it too hard to do her job and keep up with everything else.
Maybe we should offer to pay, Daryl suggested. I mean, if Abby's not.
I sighed. I didn't want to pay for this party. We'd been planning on giving Sam and Jessica a pretty big check as our baby gift, along with the baby quilt Daryl made. But I wanted it to go to pay for practical things, to give them a little cushion during Jessica's unpaid maternity leave. I didn't want it to pay for silver cows and silver spoons and generous pours of champagne.
We don't know for sure that Abby's not paying, I said. Maybe Billy gave her some spending money before she left him. Only one way to find out, Daryl replied. I'll take Sam aside and ask him.
I chatted with Jessica while Daryl pulled Sam away from the crowd. Jess has just entered her third trimester, and she looks great. Big, but great. Her skin is glowing, her hair is shiny,
and her nails have never been better. She also, it must be said, looks a little tired. But when I asked her how she was feeling, she put on a big smile and said, "Just fine. Lots of energy. It's those vitamins I'm taking. Boy, are they tough to swallow, though." "Are you getting enough rest?" I asked. "Because I can always watch the boys when they get home from camp in the afternoon, and you could nap." Jessica's eyes welled with tears. "That's so nice, Marnie. But I'm taking every minute I can to spend time with them before the baby comes. I worry they're going to feel neglected." "Well, the good news is that they have each other," I told her. "Besides, it's good for kids to realize that maybe they're not the center of the world after all. I mean, they need to be the center of the world when they're really little. But Taylor and Tyler, they're almost 4. Besides, they'll get closer to Sam while you take care of the baby." The tears started to fall. "But I want them to be close to me." I kneeled awkwardly next to Jessica's chair so that I could pat her arm. "They'll always be close to you, honey. Nothing will ever change that." Jessica nodded and sniffed. "Sorry, Marn. I'm just so emotional right now." "I'll tell you what," I said, standing up again, my knees popping like castanets. "Why don't I fix some casseroles for the freezer? That way you don't have to spend time cooking or ordering out. You'll just have to thaw and heat." "Could you do stuffed shells?" Jessica asked. "And garlic bread?" "Oh, and how about your tuna casserole?" She spent several more minutes listing what she'd like me to make. Then she took out her phone. "I'll just text you the list," she told me. "I'll get started cooking tomorrow," I said. "We'll fill your freezer to the brim." Just then, Daryl came over with his eyebrows raised. I excused myself, and we walked to an empty table. "Sam's paying for it," Daryl reported. "Turns out Billy was going to pay for it until he realized that Abby was dumping him and moving here. By then, Abby had already printed the invitations. I think she took a in for a penny, in for a pound approach and kept on planning and making reservations and putting in orders. Only she's paying the penny and Sam is paying the pound. Lots and lots of pounds." "Do I even want to know how many?" I asked. "I mean, in dollars, I never get the conversion rate right." Daryl shook his head. "Let's just say that the new used car Sam was hoping to get is off the table." I really, really didn't want to pay for this party. I would have happily thrown a shower myself, in my backyard, with pretzels and sheet cake and a keg of beer. I wasn't against a baby shower for a second, or in this case, third, baby. But I knew however much Sam would pay out for this shindig, it would be 100 times more money than I would have spent on a shower. "Why don't we buy him the car?" I said. "I'd rather do that than foot this bill." "It's about the same amount," Daryl informed me. "But I agree. I want to help, but I'd feel better about buying him a car." "He won't act like he's too old for us to buy him a car, right?" "I don't think so," Daryl said. "But I guess you should know that this means we won't be going to Hawaii for Christmas." "Who said anything about going to Hawaii for Christmas? Is that what you are going to give me this year?" "Nah," Daryl laughed. "I know you hate the idea of Christmas in a warm place. But I was thinking about taking you to London next summer." I waved the thought away. "Who wants to go to London when you've got Milton Falls?" "The answer to that question is, of course, me. I would love to go to London. But it turns out, I'm not going. Not this year. Probably not next year either. In spite of everything, it was a nice party. I took home a silver spoon with me when it was all over, and a cow jumping over the moon. I really loved those cows. June 17th. I'm thinking about getting a t-shirt that says, "I survived the Milton Falls Peacemakers Annual Quilt Show." Because I did. I survived. Did I thrive? That's a whole nother subject. But let's start off with the good stuff. The show took place on the fourth floor of building number 5, and we had a big crowd both days. The quilts that deserved to win ribbons won ribbons. This hasn't always been the case. And nobody's quilt got stuck in a corner out of sight. Well, nobody's except for mine. Yep, that's right. My sweet little wonky quilt, The Shadow of Your Smile, was put in a spot where not one person was likely to come across it. I called it The Shadow of Your Smile because I always loved that song and it seemed kind of, I don't know, silly. There are no shadows or smiles in my quilt, but I thought maybe it would make someone smile just a little bit. Nope, no smiles. No one was going to smile at a quilt they didn't see. Note to self, this is what I get for not volunteering to help hang the show, or at least not coming by while the quilts were being hung. But at that time, I was babysitting the boys while Jessica went for mani-pedi. As soon as Daryl and I walked in the door of the show yesterday, Lynn came over and grabbed my arm. "I'm so sorry, Marnie," she said, "and I swear it wasn't me who did it. Not only that, but I fought like heck to get them to move it." "I'm not sure what you're talking about," I told her. "I just got here. Who did what? What needs to be moved where?" Just then, Sheila appeared. "Daryl, congratulations. I am so proud of you." "Me too," Daryl said. "I've never had a quilt in a show before."
"I know," Sheila exclaimed. "And to win a blue ribbon straight out of the chute, that's impressive."
Daryl took a step back. "I won a ribbon?" "He won a ribbon?" I asked, thinking, "Of course Daryl won a ribbon, because that's just how this year is going." At that point, I didn't know the half of it.
"Yes, Daryl won a ribbon," Sheila said, "for best domestic machine quilting. And I think the judges were absolutely spot on. Daryl, you should teach a class."
Daryl shrugged, looking very pleased with himself. "What can I say? I'm an engineer. These things come naturally." Sheila turned to me.
"So what happened to your quilt, Marn? Did you withdraw it at the last minute?"
"It's here somewhere," I told her. I turned to Lynn. "Isn't it?" Lynn sighed and then nodded. "It is. Follow me." We all followed Lynn to a remote corner at the back of the room, and there it was, my little wonky quilt, nearly hidden from sight. "They should have changed the name to The Shadow of Your Quilt," I said, trying to make light of the situation, "or My Quilt in the Shadows of the Show."
"Who did this, Lynn?" Sheila said, her cheeks flushed. "It was Marianne, wasn't it? Wait until I get my hands on that woman. I mean, figuratively speaking, of course, but still."
"I don't know," Lynn said. "Probably. She was grumbling about all the modern quilts in the show this year. I told her, strictly speaking, Marianne, we're a guild for everybody, no matter what kind of quilts they make. But she wouldn't hear it. The moderns have their own guild," was what she said. "They should stick to their own kind."
"Does she even hear herself?"
Sheila wanted to know.
She sounds like a bigot. A quilt bigot.
You know Mary Ann, Lynn said. She doesn't like change. I mean, no one does, really, but this is a democracy. She turned to me. I'm really sorry, Marnie. I've got 3 quilts in the show, and I'd like to switch places with you. One of my quilts can go back here, and yours can move out onto center stage. I shook my head. Thanks, Lynn, but I'm fine. This is really a nice little corner. You know, when I was a kid, I used to always find little nooks like this to hide away in and read. I would have loved this corner. In fact, I might come back tomorrow with a chair and a book, if that's okay. Are you serious? Lynn asked, eyes wide, and when I nodded, she said, I'll bring a chair, too. We'll have us a little book club. And you know what? That's exactly what we did. This afternoon, we all showed up when the show opened at 1, carrying books and beach chairs, and we camped out in the corner for an hour. All kinds of people came over to see what was going on, and all of them admired my quilt and said lovely things about it. A girl, who looked like she might be 11 or 12, checked us out and came back a few minutes later with a copy of Matilda in her hand. My mom had this in her purse for me, she explained as she took the seat that Daryl offered her. She pointed to my quilt and continued. I told her that this is my favorite quilt in the whole show because it's actually interesting and fun to look at. That's why you guys are here, right? Because this is the best quilt? We all nodded, and Lynn said, That's exactly why we're here, honey. You got good taste in quilts. I've got good taste in everything, she said. And then she opened her book and started to read. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.